The very first act that God ever did that's recorded in Scripture, the earth was without form and void. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now that moment not only then set the rest of creation into motion, but it produced a reality for how life was going to operate on this earth. There would be a division between light and darkness. There would be a daytime and a nighttime. There'd be a schedule for us of when we would work and when we would sleep. All of nature would plug into this time frame of how they operate and how nature accomplishes what it does because of the schedule of dark and light. It would also become an analogy for a line drawn between good and evil. Darkness would represent the evil and light the good. Ignorance lived in the darkness, and enlightenment was a product of the light. Oppression prowled about in the darkness, but deliverance came from the light. And you kind of see that throughout history, the evil taking the dark side and good taking the light side. But it also, spiritually, light and darkness sort of became two realms that coexist, and each has a draw upon us as to which we want to invest our time in. That we might find ourselves drawn to that darkness, or we will find ourselves drawn to the light. But it becomes a spiritual conflict that we have to live through and deal with. We will live in whichever realm we make ourselves at home. Now, Paul said in Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Which basically means walk with an understanding of who you are. You don't walk like you did when you were not children of the light. You walk like you are children of the light. Now, when a command is given in Scripture, it's there because typically we're not going to do that unless we're told to. We'll overlook it. We'll skip it. We'll make an attempt, and no big deal if we fail. A couple of the biggest ones have to do with marriage. Husband, love your wives. We'll give it a shot. We'll try the best we can, but that's not a driving force. Wives, respect your husband is not a driving force. It's usually reversed. The wife's driving force is to love her husband. The husband's driving force is to respect his wife and appreciate what she does. But the Bible knows that we're not going to naturally do what we're supposed to do unless it commands us to do that. So Paul is commanding us to walk in a specific way as children of the light, which means that though we are children of the light, we can walk as children of the darkness. We can take up the attitudes and actions inconsistent with faith and trust, and though we believe, we can live as though we don't. You know, you have this framework of our lives that we have been built within. God moved us into this, and it is this spiritual context of our lives. There is still outside of this context, there is a darkness that draws us out of this specific framework that God has made. And though we are a part of this framework, and I am a child of God, and I do live by the light, I can dip back in and nibble around the darkness, and I can find my attitudes and actions begin to reflect that darkness rather than the framework of being a child that walks with God. That even though we are children of light, we can act like children of the darkness. That's why Paul knew this. And he said, you need to choose the light. You need to go toward the light of who God is and not allow the darkness to be an attraction that would get you off the path. Mother Sheep had a little baby sheep and spent much of her time trying to instruct him on the finer attributes of being a sheep. Where you go, where you don't go, what you eat, what you don't eat, who you associate with and who you don't associate with. And so one day, the little sheep came in just absolutely caked in mud, head to toe, happy as he can be, but totally filthy. And the mom said, where have you been? And he said, I was down playing with the pigs in their wallow. And the mama sheep said very clearly, sheep don't wallow. You see, it's a characteristic. There's a framework for being a sheep, and wallowing in the mud doesn't fit within that framework. You have to go outside of that framework if you're going to participate in things that aren't described as a part of the life of a sheep. Now, when Paul is looking at this, he is basically saying that to us, you need to understand, though you are children of the light within the framework of that design, you can step outside of that and you can take on some of the characteristics of that old darkness. Here's what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Now that would indicate that before we were in this framework of being children of God, we were children of the darkness. We were associated with that because that's who we were. And because of that, we did not belong to God. But there was a moment in our life that God said, no, I want you out of the darkness into the light. And He called us out of that darkness to come into this new framework. We left that old darkness. We came into the new framework of being children of light. His light drew us away from the life and the lifestyle of the dark side, night and day, dark and light. David said this, for you light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. He also said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, when we stumble back into the darkness as a child of the light, as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, as a follower of our God, and for whatever reason we're going through an experience that draws us back into that darkness, what God is going to do, He's not going to say, hey, don't worry, I'll just try to make it more comfortable for you to stay in the light, in the darkness. No, He's going to say very clearly, we don't belong there. Let me draw you back into the light, just like the mother sheep. Sheep don't wallow. Children of the light don't belong in the darkness. And so He is going to illumine our path back to the light. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, here's what Paul said. For God who said, light shall shine out of the darkness, in that creative moment, that we've got the earth without form and void and darkness is everywhere. God said, let there be light. That same God is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, that knowledge of the light of the glory of Christ in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God, not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know what he's saying? He's saying there is a difference in the life of the light and the darkness. In the darkness, affliction comes with crushing. Perplexing comes with despair. Being forsaken when we are persecuted. Being destroyed when we're struck down. But in the light, he says, when we're afflicted, we're not crushed. When we're perplexed, we're not despairing. When we are persecuted, we're not forsaken. When we're struck down, we're not destroyed. So why would I want to enter back into a darkness that is a reminder of what I came out of when I came to the Lord? Where the oppression and the heaviness of life bore such a weight on me, I couldn't stand it. Why would I go back into that when I am not a child of the darkness any longer? I am a child of the light. Back in that darkness, we rediscover fear, anxiety, doubt, lostness. We lose sight of our hope. Isaiah said this, 50 verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Well, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. It's as though Isaiah is looking at people of his era, his generation, who are the people that are headed into captivity. And he's saying, what is this about you guys that you're following life on the dark side of the edge of light and darkness? Why are you doing that? If you really acknowledge there is a God, then pull your attention over to the light and don't follow after that darkness. Well, Daniel, in fact, turn to Daniel. It'll take you a couple of minutes. Go about to Psalm and take a right, go over the big books, the big prophecies, and you'll end up at Daniel before you get to the little prophecies. But Daniel and his friends were cast into the darkness in a very complicated way. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the dream disturbed him greatly because he didn't understand anything about it. But it was very graphic in detail. And so he called all of his wise men together and said, you guys are going to have to help me with this. Tell me what this dream's all about. And they said, great, King, we will. Tell us the dream. Oh, no, no. I'm not going to tell you the dream. You have to know what the dream was about and then tell me what it means. Well, here's what Daniel said, chapter 2, verse 27. Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, or diviners are able to declare that to the king. It's a setup. It's an unwinnable hand. That's what darkness does to us. It takes any sense of there being an answer out there and just erases it by darkening the room. Have you ever been in one of those caves? You go down into the earth and they'll say, okay, hang on to something or somebody. We're going to turn the lights out. And they do, and you are in absolute darkness. You can put your hand in front of your face and you don't see it. You can't see anything in there because there is no point of reference any longer. The darkness has erased everything else that's in that room. Well, that's what had happened to these guys, and that's what Daniel was saying. King, nobody can do what you're asking. But look at the next thing he went on to say, verse 28. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made it known. Now, what Daniel is doing is what we do when we discover that we have allowed ourselves to drift into the darkness. And in that darkness, we can't find answers any longer. We can't find God because we have no point of reference anymore. We don't know what's going on. And so in that moment, we hear God calling us out of the darkness. He doesn't deal with us in the darkness. He doesn't say, okay, you stand there and I'll give you some information. He says, get out of the darkness. Sheep don't wallow. Children of the light don't belong in the darkness. Come back into the light. And so that moment of coming out of the darkness for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all these other men who benefited from this, was basically God saying, I will give insight, illumination to you. I'll help you understand in the light what is unclear in the dark. And here's what he prayed. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel prayed. He said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. Listen to this. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you've made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matters. You see, you know what happens when God's children are thrown into the darkness? They find themselves in a place they don't belong. And so God will pull them from that, back out of that darkness, into the light. That's basically what Daniel was looking at, is we belong to a God who gives insight to get us out of darkness so that we can live in the light. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, it's common among men that trouble overwhelms us. It's what it's designed to do. The word trouble means pressing in. It's those moments when the crisis is squeezing us, or when the concerns keep mounting up and building up a momentum, and they're just like steamrollers rolling over us to squeeze the very life out of us. That's trouble. That's what that word means there, that the trouble, the squeezing in of life. Even children of light can experience the overwhelming presence of trouble and go through that trouble. Hopelessness and despair can drain away peace and joy. When we're brought back, drawn back into the darkness to deal with that, we'll experience the life of the darkness all over again. And we'll respond to what we face like the godless people who live there without hope. You see, that's what happens when life squeezes us and we're choosing, how am I going to respond to this? If I go to the dark direction, I'm going to go back into the oppression that makes me fear all that's happening. If I stay in the light, I'm going to walk in the light that God gives me to be able to pass through this and move forward. Jeremiah had one of those moments, and he summarized it very, very briefly. He said, Jeremiah 8:18, "My sorrow is beyond healing. My heart is faint within me." See, it's that moment that I think my problem's unfixable, or my question is unanswerable, or my crisis is untenable. There is no solution for me. How do I get to that point? I'm dabbling in the darkness. I'm going back over here where oppression rules. I'm not staying in the light. So whenever I get like Jeremiah and begin to feel those oppressive things, that my sorrow, my broken heart cannot be healed, I've been listening to the voices that come out of the darkness, not of the voices that come out of the light. In 1971, the Bee Gees said this: "How can you mend a broken heart?" No. How can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? How can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart and let me live again. Now, if that were a prayer, the light would come on that directed him out of that darkness. But if it was just the complaint of a man who is miserable in his own darkness and he's asking other people in the darkness for help, he doesn't have an answer. There is not a solution to all of these questions for him from the darkness, because the darkness cannot produce answers like that. But when those complaints turn into a prayer, and a person is tired of the repercussions of trying to live life in the darkness, when he's a child of the light, he'll hear God saying, I am your answer. Come follow me. And we'll take you out of that, back in a direction that will show you where your life is headed. So what do? When we realize that our own pain and suffering have drawn us to the dark side, when our own fears of the unknown have kind of made us get back in that oppressive spirit of believing that God is not in charge and there's not hope for us, we pray. We pray for insight, illumination, understanding. Because, see, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. So I don't really know what to ask God for yet. I just need Him to draw me back into the light so that I can walk through this in the company of my God, rather than trying to stumble through it in the darkness where I don't belong. You see, my physical issues may not be the problem. It could be emotional. My emotional issues may not be the problem. It could be spiritual. It could be that both my spiritual and emotional issues may be actually physical. So I don't know what direction to pray. God, deliver me from this physical ailment. And God says, that's not your problem. Your problem is resentment. your problem is not physical, it's spiritual. Or I may be struggling with these other hurts, and I'm thinking it's got to be a spiritual problem here somewhere. And God says, no, you got a physical ailment. Go to the doctor and let that doctor work with you. You see, so I need insight. I need God to clarify what it is that I need to know. And so that's where I begin. And that's why I ask God what I need to know, because I'm confident that He is my answer. I have assurance that He intends to make all things work together for good. I understand that I am presenting my whole life to Him and not just the problem. I know that He will do what's best, and I will faithfully keep asking until I have peace about this. That's my privilege as a child of the light, belonging to God, and I get to trust Him in that way. You see, we don't always know what to ask for. Our motives aren't always pure. My heart may have me asking for something with selfish desires, or my mind may be having me tell God what's the best solution, or my flesh may be wanting something that God doesn't want me to have. But our spirits know what's best. Brokenhearted little girl was at church. She came down to the altar for prayer. She knelt there and was weeping without having any words to say. And in her little mind, she remembered something her daddy told her. Her dad said, there will be times when you won't know what to pray, but the Lord will pray for you, and He will say the things that you need to say, but you can't say. So she thought, that's a great idea. So she starts reciting her ABCs. Out of the tears of a broken heart, she's doing through the ABCs. The lady sitting on the front row hears that, thinks she needs to intervene. She comes up and gets beside the little girl and says, sweetie, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying in the Spirit. She said, it sounds to me like you're saying your ABCs. She said, I am. Because, you see, I don't know what to say, so I am praying to God, and I'm giving Him all the letters, and He can make the words whatever He wants them to be. I'm just telling Him what's going on in my life. Paul actually said that for us. Romans 8, he said, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He searches the hearts to know what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. See, when I don't know what all of this means, I draw myself to the light, and I know that He does. And so when I go to Him in prayer, I'm not trying to tell Him what to do. I'm trying to align myself with His good purposes and let Him accomplish what He wants. Jan and I were watching a movie last week, and in that movie there was a scene of a young rebellious boy who was having struggles making it in this British boarding house. And one of the rules that the headmaster had made was, don't help him unless he asks for help. Trying to break his will. And so something happens, there's a death in the family. He's out in the rain rebuilding a gate at the front of this complex. And you see him struggling throughout the whole night in the rain, the mud, putting these blocks up, trying to lift a gate and put it on there. And then it's breakfast time. And all of the boys are gathered there for breakfast. And you see this little drenched and muddy boy coming in. And he stops there and says, help. The headmaster says, would you repeat that? And the boy says, I need help. And at that moment, the other boys got up and went out and helped him fix the gate. You know, sometimes that's all God is waiting for us to say. Help. Help me, Lord. Because I'm not trying to explain anything to Him, give Him details, tell Him what to do. I'm just crying out from my heart like a little girl that doesn't know what else to say. God, help. Draw me back into the light and help me. Let me give you some suggestions for how you might do that. You might come on Wednesday night and let a group of folks that are here pray over you. Or you might ask a group of ladies that meet on Mondays over here and pray for you. Or you might find a prayer partner to pray with you. Or you might go alone to a private place and just pour out your heart before the Lord. And if you don't know what to say, just say, "Jesus, help me." And He'll know what to do. He works in that way. But don't stay in the darkness. See, the darkness is that oppressive place that we used to live in where we didn't have the answers we needed to know what to do. And if we allow that darkness to be an attraction to draw us back whenever we're facing problems in our life and troubles, we'll be in a place that doesn't have the answers. So we come back to the light. Remember, we don't belong there. Just like sheep don't wallow, children of the light don't belong in the darkness. Come out of the darkness back into the light. Here are our takeaways. Number one, no one blames anyone for becoming overwhelmed during times of trouble. It's not a sin to be overwhelmed in times of trouble. However, there are natural urges within us that will draw us to the dark side to deal with that problem, to deal with that overwhelming sense. However, as children of the light, we're not to stay there and grieve as those who have no hope. When we realize that we aren't where we should be, we must force ourselves to leave the darkness and to return to the light where we belong. Don't stay in the darkness when God has called you to the light. Now, I know back in that cave where all the lights had gone off and you couldn't see a hand in front of you, sometimes it feels like that in the darkness. You don't know where your hope is coming from. When you cry out to the Lord, out of that darkness comes a hand ready to guide you back to the light. Let Him do it. Just say, "Help, Lord," and He'll draw you back to the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for being that kind of a God that knows that we struggle with this light and dark issue all the time. Lord, it's as though we have a path beaten between the two of them, and that we will live some of our time here in the light, and then we'll find ourselves drawn back to that darkness. God, we don't want to live there because that's not where we belong. But we admit that it is easy to get drawn back there. So, Lord, remind us that's not who we are. We are children of the light, and we walk with our God through all that we face. So, Lord, may we in the midst of our troubles today call out to You and find Your hand coming through to lead us back home. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.